Okay, so let's get started over here. We are holding on Pei Omidbey's five lines from the end of the narrow line, one against Heat. All right, we're discussing the opinion of Reb Shimon, which we're going to have in the next Mishnah, about Shchita Shein Ru'uya Loishma Shchita, where Reb Shimon says that if you have a Shchita that is not matir, an animal to be eaten, then it's not considered a Shchita for the purposes of the Din of Oisav Esbenoi. So we were discussing the idea, therefore, that apparently our Mishnah can't be like Reb Shimon because you have the various cases over there involving Kodshim, where you have the various cases involving Kodshim over there where you would have Oisav Esbenoi, and in each of those, Yosef, if you don't mind, if you can mute now. Thanks. So for example, we said that when you have a case, when you have both of the animals are kodshim and they're shechted outside the azara, according to Reb Shimon, the first one should be considered that the first one is he's chayv koris for it, but as far as oisav esbenoi, it shouldn't be considered a shchita. Therefore, the second one would be in principle valid as a korban, and he ought to be chayv koris for that. And then several other such examples. And the last thing we said was we were discussing the chlal. According to Reb Shimon, would we even say that oisav esbenoi applies to kodshim at all? Rashi gives two reasons that the Gemara might be saying why not. Number one, because whenever you shech the first one, then automatically the second one is mechutzes man. It's not able to be brought to the korban that day. So therefore it shouldn't be, and since it would be possible as a korban, were it to be brought as a korban in the azara, it still would be also to eat because mechutzes man. And according to Reb Shimon, it's shchita shein ru'uya. And b'chlal, when you shech the first one, it's not just good enough to do the shchita, you also need to do the zrika. So therefore, maybe the shchita itself shouldn't be considered. So that was the point. That was Reb Oshia's point, that he wanted to stress that indeed the halacha is not like Reb Shimon in that regard. That our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon. The fact that our Mishnah mentions these various cases of kodshim implies the halacha is not implies that it's not following his opinion. Okay.
One second. When he says shchita ena ru'uya,
shchita shena ru'uya means that you have a shchita which is not making the animal mutter to be eaten. So Reb Oshia is informing us that Reb Shimon is not only saying that when you have the shchita itself becomes possible for some reason or another, for example, if it's kodshim outside the azara or chulin in it, or as we'll see in the next Mishnah, it's an animal that's also bahana or what have you, but also Reb Oshia is telling us also when you have the case where the shchita in and of itself is a perfectly good shchita, it's kodshim in the Beit HaMikdash, but you need something else because you need the zrika in order to be master of the meat to be eaten, Reb Oshia is telling us Reb Shimon would also call that shchita shein ru'uya. And therefore, in other words, it comes out, according to him, there's no possibility of oisav esbenoi applying whenever it involves shechting kodshim anyway. So again, Rashi gives two reasons why not. One, because of mechutzes man, and the other, so one is because of mechutzes man, and the other is because not mutter without zrika. Now, Rashi, by the way, does not mention over here that you have the matter of hasra sofik, that you have the question. You could argue that another reason you could say would be because at the time of the shchita, you don't know yet whether he's going to do zrika and therefore whether the meat is going to be mutter. Rashi does not mention that. In fact, later on in the sugya, which we're going to learn today, says the Shem, then Rashi takes out some words that we have in the Gemara that refer to hasra sofik over here because Rashi holds that, according to Reb Shimon, that's not the reason why it wouldn't apply to kodshim. Rather, only the two reasons that Rashi mentioned.
The two reasons that we said.
Number one, because shchita shein ru'uya. And number one, because the second one is not shchita shein ru'uya, because mechutzes man. And number two, because the first one requires zrika as well, and therefore by itself it's not enough to be master the animal. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and so do many other Rishonim, and has the Girsa later, and therefore they discuss that maybe it would be also because of, maybe it would also be because of Asurah stuff. Okay, so let's go on. So again, we're starting on the line begins he, five lines from the end of the narrow lines on Peo and Beit. Okay, so the question is, V'luki nami mishum lav d'machotas man. Now, all this time we've been saying that a person gets malchus when the second animal is kodshim and shechted in the azara, we're saying he's getting malchus on the grounds of oisav esbenoi. Now, if the first one was already shechted, again, the second one is mechot zman, the second one is not able to be brought that day because of oyster vatsbinoi. So in that case, he should also be getting malchus because he's over on the lab. He's bringing a korban that's not yet suitable to be brought. And how do we know that that's a lav and involves malchus? The Tanya, as we learn in Ebraisa. Now, the basic concept that an animal cannot be brought as a korban at certain times, we learn
22. He cannot shech it the same day, and so he's over, and he didn't.
And therefore, he's getting oyster vatsbinoi. Well, according to Reb Shimon, not. According to Reb Shimon, shech the shein aruya. But according to Chachamim, right. So the question is, when we're talking in the Mishnah, we're dealing with the various cases where people are getting malchus because they're shechting kodshim bachos, or because of oyster vatsbinoi. Why are we not also talking about malchus for shechting a korban that's not yet able to be brought? Namely, again, the first one was shechted, whether b'fnim or whether b'chutz, for our purposes, and we're saying the second one is being shechted as kodshim in the azara. We're saying it's mechutzer zman; it's not yet able to be brought as a korban. That is why, therefore it's possible as a korban.
How many times can you get malchus?
Well, a person can get malchus as many times as necessary. You have a case in malchus where a person can. Where you have a case over there where a person plows one furrow in a field and he gets like 8 malchus for it because he's using shor v'chamor and some and doing shmita and this and that and the other. So yeah.
Double jeopardy
is come live a deravmane. That we're going to get to later. Wait, that we're going to get to later. But wait. Okay. So the question is the loki nami mishum lav d'malchus man. Why is he not also getting malchus on the ground that he's over on the Isser to not bring an animal that's not yet ready to be brought as a korban, and he's bringing it? And how do we know that there's a lav involved? The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, minayim l'chol apsulin shebasher v'shebaser shehu b'lo yerot. So how do we know that any case where an ox or seh is possible to be brought as a korban, how do we know that there's a general Isser called lo yerot, it will not be accepted, and that's a lav, in other words, you're not allowed to bring it as a korban. How do we know that? You have like this. The psukim in Parashat Emor mentioned you're not allowed to bring as a korban an animal that has a mum. After that, the pasuk continues, v'sher v'seh, and a shur or a seh, sorua, which is where they have one, it's in Parashat Emor. Sorua is where it has a type of mum where one of a pair of limbs is larger than the other. Let's say, for example, it has one leg longer than the other. It's called sorua. The kolut, or where it has joined hooves, which we talked about in the previous parak, that can happen in animals born with such a mutation. So, and the pasuk says, the pasuk continues that ulamedir lo yerotza, such an animal cannot be brought as a korban. So limit al apsulin. Now the point is, the pasuk did not have to introduce it with shur v'seh. We know already in previous sukkim we're talking about animals for korbanos. So there's no reason for this one to also be introduced with v'shur v'seh. It should have just said the imhu saru of a kolut or words to that effect. Then you can't bring it as a korban. So why does it say again v'shur v'seh? Limit al apsulin.
Have you called this according to Rabbi Ishmael? Which school is it?
Maybe it would be a prophet. I'm not sure which rule it would be. But how do we know the fact that shur v'sero extra? Maybe it's I don't know. Okay. Anyway, whatever it is, how do we so limit al apsulin shur below your roster? From that we learn that any case where shur or seh is otherwise possible for a korban, you have a lav of lo yerotza that you're not allowed to bring it as a korban. So in this case, it's possible on the grounds that the first one was already shechted, the mother or the baby was already shechted, and therefore this one is possible for a korban for the rest of today because of oyster vatsbinoi. So therefore, why are we only talking in the Mishnah about malchus that a person is getting for shchut echus or for oyster vatsbinoi? There should also be, if the second one is kodshim and he's shechting it in the azara, he should also be getting malchus on the grounds of lo yerotza.
According to Reb Shimon, he would not be getting...
Forget Reb Shimon.
No,
we're talking according to Reb Shimon, shchit eshein or uya, so there's nothing to talk about. If the apostle of Korban, so he wouldn't be getting it.
According
to Tanakama, we're talking about it. Tosfos asks the question, wouldn't it be a lav shebechlolus? In general, we know that when you have one lav that includes many different isurim, then you don't get malchus for it. So why is the Gemara even asking that you should get malchus for this lo yerotza, which on the face of it includes, Well, on the face of it, it is, because we're saying any soul that you have in a carbon, if you're makriv it, then you're over on lo yirasa. That would be a lav shebapolis. So then Ramban's answer is, okay, first of all, you have opinions in the Gemara and other sugyas that say you do get malchus for lav shebapolis, so the Gemara can be asking according to that. But also you have achronim, we'll talk about, that not necessarily is it a lav, not achronim, achronim actually, as the Me'iri talks about, it's not really a lav shebapolis, because that would be where we don't otherwise know the issur from anywhere else. Here we know, for example, there's an issur not to bring an animal that's not able to be offered on that day yet. For example, oisiv es benoi, or for example, any of the other psulim. So therefore, it's not really a lav shebe klalus. Okay, anyway, so the question is, why not? The answer is, ki kachoshiv lavi de oisiv es benoi. Yeah, but when the Mishnah is mentioning lavim that a person is over on and getting malchus for, it's only mentioning the ones in connection with oisiv es benoi. Lavi nuchroi, other lavim that he might be conceivably over at that point, lo kachoshiv. Nuchroi, Meloshin Necher, Meloshin Foreign. So other lavim that are not relevant, we're not listing. Yes, in principle, he might be getting malchus for that as well, but the Mishnah is not listing it because it's not relevant. So the question is, Haloi, what do you mean? No. V'hakodshim b'chutz, what about the lav of Shechtin Kodshim outside the Azor, the lav in Nuchroi Ninu? Those are also foreign to the topic of our Perek, because the topic of our Perek is Oisiv Es Benoi. V'hakachoshim. And we mentioned them in the Mishnah. Dikatani, because we had a case in the Mishnah, Kodshim Bachot, that if both animals... No, it's part of the question. Dikatani, because we see in the Mishnah, Kodshim Bachot, that if both of them were Kodshim and they were Shechted outside the Azara, Harishin Chayev Karis, only the first one who Shecht is going to be Chayev Karis. The second one will not, because already at that point it's possible as a carbon. But Ushneim Sofkin Asalboim, but we're saying both of them are getting Malkus. So we see. The Shlema Sheni, now I understand why the Mishnah is telling us about the second one getting Malkus. Mishim Lav to Oisiv Es Benoi, because he was over on Oisiv Es Benoi. He's not over on the Issur Koris, because it's possible on the carbon for that day. El Rishon Amai Sofkin, why is the first one getting Malkus? Lav, Mishim Lav to Shchut Echutz. Isn't it necessarily because he was over on the Lav of Shchut Echutz? So therefore, you see, the Mishnah is mentioning other Lavim other than Oisiv Es Benoi. The answer is fine, but kol hecha de isa lav de oisiv es benoi, it's like this. Whenever, kol hecha de leka lav de oisiv es benoi, when you have somebody is chayim, malchus, but not because of oisiv es benoi, choshev lavi nuchroi. So then, yes, the Mishnah will mention the other lavim that he is over on at that point. So in this case, the first person is shechting is obviously not over on oisiv es benoi because the second one hasn't been shechted yet. So therefore, the Mishnah is mentioning a different issur that he's over on, namely shchut echutz and the malchus that he gets for that.
To exemplify the fact that these are the following Isurim are your higher mountains?
Yes, to say, in other words, that you should know. In this case, the first person, don't think the first person is getting away, so to speak, getting away only with Kares. No, he's actually getting Malkus as well because he was over on Shchut Echutz.
So the Havamina would be that he wouldn't get Malkus and...
No, not the Havamina would be. We might have thought the Mishnah wouldn't bother mentioning the Malkus because the Mishnah wants to focus only on who's over on Oisiv Es Benoi. No, but in that case, since otherwise the Mishnah would have to be telling us that he's not... Otherwise the Mishnah would be implying he doesn't get Malkus at all, and that's incorrect, so therefore it mentions the Shchut Echutz. The Chol Hecha De'ika Lav De'Oisiv Es Benoi. But when anyway you have a person that's being over on Oisiv Es Benoi and getting Malkus for that, Loi Choshev Lavi Nuchroi, so the Mishnah is not bothering to mention any other Lavim that he might be over on and be Chayev Malkus for at the same time. In other words, basically the Mishnah is telling us, not so much repeating itself, the Mishnah is telling us in what cases does a person get zero Malkus, or in what cases does a person get one or more Malkus. It's not getting into, when it's one, it's not getting into, could there also be more?
Malchus
is always, when a person gets Malchus, the standard amount they get is 39, yes. although in Malchus it talks about that if, they have doctors examine him ahead of time and see how much he can take without it killing him, whatever. The point is, if a person is over on two things that are high of Malkus, then what it is they do one, and then he recovers, and then they do the next one. I mean, or if he can do them back to back, then whatever. But the point is, so if a person was over on two things that are high of Malkus, in principle, he's going to get 78 Malkus. That's what we mean. So in other words,
if you can take 78 Malkus,
There may be, there may not, but whatever. The point is, they're two separate things.
Yeah.
The point being, therefore, in other words, so the Mishnah is not getting into that you could have a person is getting two or three or whatever Malkus. All the Mishnah is distinguishing is between people who get zero Malkus versus people who are getting some malchus. How many the sum is, we're not getting into. How many series of malchus, that we're not getting into. So yes, he's over on Oseh Vatzinoi. He may well be over on this issue of Lo Yodos as well, but the Mishnah is not bothering to mention that because it's not relevant.
So we just want to support the
We question. Just want to talk about... So the answer is, yes, maybe he is getting malchus for Lo Yodos, but the Mishnah is not mentioning that because it's not relevant. Once we say he's getting malchus for Oseh Vatzinoi, the Mishnah doesn't always start to tell us what other grounds he might be getting malchus for. So the question is, and that's the end of the answer. Whenever you don't have the lav of Oseh Vatzinoi, then the Mishnah is mentioning other malchus that he is getting. In this case, the ones that he would be getting for Shchutichus. We're anyway mentioning that he's getting malchus for Oseh Vatzinoi. So at that point, it doesn't mention what other malchus he might be getting as well. Because once he's high of one for Oseh Vatzinoi, then we don't care how many more he's getting. The Mishnah is not getting
malchus.
Right. It's just whether he's getting malchus or not. Right. Rav Zera says here's a different answer. Actually, you wouldn't get malchus for Mechutz's mana. The Makshin in the Gemara is assuming that we would because it's included in Lo Yerotah. Rav Zera says no. Rav Zera Omar Hanach for Mechutz's man, set aside the case of Mechutz's man, where an animal is not able to be brought to the korban now, because in this case, because its mother or its baby was already shechted that same day, that kosev nitkoy la'ester, because in that case, the Torah actually joins it together with an ester. Nitkoy actually doesn't mean joined. Actually, nitkoy means pulled away. Now, usually in the Gemara, let me explain. Usually in Shas, when we have the expression lav hanitik la'ester, usually what it means is that the Torah tells you not to do something, but if you did it, here's how to make up for it with an ester. For example, classic example is the Torah tells us don't steal, but if you did, v'heishav es hagzela. At the end of our Masechta, we're going to have another example. Let's say you're not allowed loisikach ha'em al abonim, you're not allowed to take the mother bird together with the babies from the nest, but if you did, shaleach t'shalach ha'em, you can fix it up by sending away the mother bird. That's called a lav ha'nitcha class.
What about if you're cheap, you don't
want to
do truma?
Truma, there's no lav involved. There's an ester to eat. Well, there is. I mean, there's a lav for zorim to eat truma. There's a lav also to eat kevel. But we're not. The point is you have lavim where, in particular, a person doesn't get malchus for them because they're nitcha classes. Rashi understands that over here, the Gemara means that in the same sense. We have, on the one hand, we have the lawyer roster that we're saying. On the other, that we're saying that such a korban is not acceptable, the tosavane. On the other hand, the Torah is also telling us, wait until the appropriate time and then bring it. For example, the typical case of Mechutz's man is, as I'm always going to quote over here, that you have an animal below 7 days old is not valid to be brought to the korban. So what do you have to do? You have to wait until the eighth day. That's an essay in the Torah. So that's the thing. So in other words, so according to Rashi, Rav Zera is telling us that the lab of Lo Yerotah that happens if you bring it during the first 7 days is actually a lab hanitek la'esteh. Because you have, the Torah is telling you, don't bring it before the first 7 days. Instead, wait until the eighth day and then bring it. And such a lav, you don't get malchus for.
Because it's nitzah.
Now, many other Rishonim, including Tosfos and others, disagree with Rashi on that. Because, again, lav on nitzah la'aseh is usually the other way around. You did the lav, but now make up for it by doing the essay. You took the mother bird together with the babies, now make up for it by sending her away. In other words, first you did the lav, then you're able to fix it up by doing the essay. Here, if you shechted the animal during the 7 days, then you can't undo it. You can't undo
the translation.
Nitak literally means pulled away. So in other words, it's a lav which is pulled away into that it's a, that you have, you can pull away the effects of it basically by doing an essay instead.
Repair.
Repair, basically, yeah. So therefore, this isn't a regular lav on nitcha klaseh, because you can't say it's already shechted. Yeah, you can't say wait until the eighth day and then shechted. It's already a done deal. So, okay.
Sorry, so we're talking about
Oseh Vatzinoi, but in particular, we're talking about then if you have in the pair of Oseh Vatzinoi, if one of them was already shechted and the other one is kodshim and you're shechting it in the Azara, we're saying it's mechutzes man, because since the Torah tells us you're not allowed to shecht Oseh Vatzinoi on the same day, then it means that one is now possible for a korban for the rest of that day. So now the question is, the question we had is, why didn't the Mishnah tell us that a person is getting Malkus if he does that? Besides that, he's getting Malkus for shechting the second one of the pair of Oitzav Esbenoi, why is he not also getting Malkus for shechting a Mechusav's man? So the first answer we had is maybe he does, and the Mishnah doesn't bother mentioning it. And the second answer we're saying is you actually wouldn't get Malkus in this case for offering a Mechusav's man. You'd get Malkus for other kinds of Psalim in a Korban, but not this one, because it's Lava Nitaklaasa. That's the thing. That according to Rashi, hold on one second. According to Rashi, it's Nitaklaasa because it's associated with an Esther. Because the Torah is telling us that you shouldn't shecht it during the 7 days. Instead, wait until afterwards and shecht it. Again, that's the point. Tosfos and many other Rishonim argue with Rashi on that and say that's not a typical case of Nitaklaasa, because it's not that you can fix up what you did. So therefore, Tosfos explains that what we mean is when we say Nitaklaasa, we don't mean in the usual sense of Lava Nitaklaasa that we usually do in Shas. What we mean is, in other words, that this that we said, Lo Yerosa, that it includes all the Psalim. However, since a Mechusav's man, you have an individual, you have a separate Esther, the Torah tells us that you should bring it after the eighth day, that means the Torah is excluding it from the category of things that are included in Lo Yerosa. Lava Nitak La'Esther is pulled out from the general category of that lav of Lo Yerosa and being placed into a new category of only Esther. It should have, but okay, according to Tosfos, that's it. My timer, now why is that? What's the Esther? I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay. My timer. Now, why is that? Because you have the Pasuk says, when we Yom HaShmini V'Hola Yerosa, the Pasuk says that a baby animal has to be left for 7 days with its mother, and only from the eighth day on can it be brought to the carbon, implying the Yom HaShmini Ein Me'ikro Loi, implying, and before that eighth day, it's not acceptable as a carbon. Therefore, lav habam we call esa. Therefore, it amounts to a lav which we deduce from an esa. And, as the usual rule is esa. That has the status only of an esa. So therefore, no Malkus. Lava Bamakal Esther. We have a general rule throughout Shas. Whenever the Torah tells us, do this, and the implication from that is, and don't do that.
Do it after the seventh day.
Yeah, since it says, do it, since it says on the eighth day it's acceptable, the implication is, and before the eighth day it's not acceptable, but that's not an explicit law. That's only, yeah. Okay. So the question is, Bahami Borilo, yeah, that implies, well, you're allowed to bring it as a carbon. Yeah, which implies that if you did it during the first 7 days, it would be possible as a carbon. But the Torah never actually says in so many words, don't shecht it during the first 7 days. So that is an example. It's an indirect lav. So that's considered an essay. It's not considered a lav, and there's no malchus. Look, that's fine, but that is not acceptable as a carbon. That we're learning from the mechusav's man, from the baby that's not yet 8 days old, which is a similar concept that you can't bring it on that day. So therefore, shechting the second one on that day is not going to be an issur lav. It's not going to be covered under the lav of Lo Yerosa. Okay. So the question is, what do you mean? We need this pasuk of Miyom Hashmini V'Hola to teach us the din that Rav Aftariki says. The Rav Aftariki Rami, because Rav Aftariki pointed out that you seem to have a contradiction within the pasuk itself. The pasuk starts off, it starts by saying that the baby has to be left for 7 days with its mother. Now, 7 days, now when it comes to kodshim, the usual rule is halayla ho'lachacha hayom, but when it comes to all other areas of halacha, usually we say hayom ho'lachacha halayla. The Jewish day begins at night, as we do with Shabbos and Yom Tov, for example, and it finishes by Shkia of the following day.
Except for what day?
Except for Kabbalah. But fine, but the point is, in other words, that when it says shivas yomim tachas imoy, that implies that the night after the seventh day, implying it would be kosher for a korban at night. In other words, if the baby was born on Sunday during the day, for example, then, let's not do that actually, because Shabbos, you can't bring korbanos anyway. Fine, let's say the baby was born on Tuesday during the day. So shivas yamim tachas imoy would imply that up until Monday shkia, it's possible for a korban, but it would imply Monday after shkia, it's already valid for a korban. But then the pasuk continues, only from the eighth day and onward, meaning Tuesday morning, is it acceptable, implying so it's only acceptable beginning Tuesday morning. So what is it? Is it already acceptable as a korban Monday night, or is it acceptable Tuesday morning? Now, you could ask the obvious question, korbanos aren't brought by night anyway. One of the answers is, one of the answers is that we might be talking about in the case of a bamas yochid. We might be talking about where you're bringing this korban during the period of Jewish history when you were allowed to have private mizbechas wherever you wanted. There, the rules that you can only bring there, yet we actually just... Well, there's a kodshim, sure. I mean, you can bring only certain types of kodshim, but we learned at the end of Zochim, we had a whole discussion what types of korbanos can be brought exactly. We also discussed over there whether they can be brought at night. But if we say that they can be brought at night on a bamas yochid, then there. So the pasuk seems to imply that you could bring it Monday night. But then you have, on the other hand, the pasuk is saying only miyom hashmini v'holo. So, how do we reconcile that? Says Rav Achtariki. Laila l'kedusha yom l'hatzah. By night, Monday night already, what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to be makdish the animal. We won't say, in other words, that since it's not able to be brought to the korban yet, then it's too early to be makdish. You're over on that you have an issue that you're not allowed to be makdish an animal that's possible for a korban. For example, a person is makdish an animal, a baal mum, as a korban, he's over on a lo sefer. So you shouldn't think that over here it's possible for a korban Monday night, and therefore already if he's makdish it Monday, and therefore if he's makdish it Monday night is over. No, the pasuk is implying that already Monday night is you're able to be makdish it. Yeah, and then you have to wait till the next day to actually bring it as a korban.
So you makdish it by night.
So you makdish it Monday night, and then
by night?
That's obviously yes.
What's your punishment if you makdish it by night and then?
No. Hold on. We just said you are allowed to be makdish by night. What we're saying is, in a different case, for example, if you have an animal which is a baal mum, and a person is makdish such an animal, he's over on a lav. He's over on a lav. Whether he gets malchus for it, I'm not sure, because it's a lav that involves speaking. But
why is it considered that you're makdish? You could makdish something that you can't makdish. Someone could say that this could be a makdish.
Well, the point is, in other words, he wants to bring the korban Tuesday morning, but he's able already Monday night to say, I'm going to bring this korban. I'm designating this as a korban.
There's a formal process for having makdish.
No, not really. No, it's not even a formal process. All the person has to do is say that I'm being makdish this animal. I said, yeah. Well, you don't need more than that.
In the
7 days, that's what we're saying. He can't be makdish it, because then you'd be over on the issue that you're not allowed to be makdish animals that are possible for a korban.
So you cannot.
Right, that's the point. So Monday night already, it's no longer considered mechutz man. However, you can't bring it as a korban. Mechutz man means it's not yet time to bring it as a korban.
That's why you cannot be makdish it.
Right, but
it's not like it comes in together like
people. Right.
It's not like you makdish it and now it became possible because it was not.
No.
Never even came at it.
Yeah. No, if the person was makdish it during 7 days, it may well be that it becomes hektish. He's just over on the lab that he was makdish apostle. I don't know. I'm not sure about that point. But be that as it may, Rabbi Sirifi is telling us that Monday night already, the eighth night of life of the animal, he's already able to be makdish it, but he has to wait till the next day to bring another korban. The point is we're learning that from these words, miyom hashmini v'holo. So how do we have that available to also teach us that we said before that it's an essay of its own and not included under the lois essay of lo yirata?
La'asa means what exactly?
La'asa means to be brought and accepted as a korban, the lashon drosin. The answer is k'siv k'ra'achrina k'entasa l'shorcha l'tenecha. Fine, but you have another pasuk that also mentions about the 7 days versus 8 days. You have a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that says k'entasa l'shorcha l'tenecha. This is what you should do for your oxen or your sheep. That it has to be left for 7 days with its mother, and on the 8th day it can be brought to the korban. So therefore, also you have the 7 versus 8 days mentioned. So therefore, we can use one of those psukim for Rav Achtariki's drasha, and the other one to teach us that you have an essay and an implicit lav that comes from that essay about not bringing it before the 8th day. No, doesn't matter. The whole Torah is one unit. One of them is in both of them as it happens. Both of them are in Perek Chof Beis of their respective chumashim, but one is in Shmoyt Perek Chof Beis in Parshas Mishpatim, and the other one is in Vayikra Perek Chof Beis in Parshas Emor.
Same
class. I don't think so.
Wait, Rebbe, early recorded Bahaya, Shivat Yamin, Machim, Chazim, and on the side, just called Shad.
It's a Shom, which means there. It's part of the same topic.
Oh,
like,
Okay.
All right. Onward. Okay. Onward of Hamnon. Okay. So let's get back to Rav Shimon's opinion about Osev Espinoi. Again, based on the fact that in the next Mishnah, he says Shchita She'ena Re'uya is not considered a Shchita, that a Shchita that does not, Shchita She'ena Re'uya, that does not make the animal mutter to eat, is not considered a Shchita. So, Omer Rav Hamnona, Oimer Hoya Rav Shimon, Ein Osev Espinoi Noyeg V'Kodshin. Rav Shimon indeed says that Osev Espinoi does not apply to Kodshin, as we were saying before. My timer, why would that be? Given the Omer... Yeah, maybe when you got it, when you actually get to the information. Okay. My timer, why indeed would Rav Shimon say that Osev Espinoi does not apply to Kodshim, which is what led Rav Oshia in the Gemara before to say that our Mishnah cannot be like Rav Shimon? Because, given the Omer Rav Shimon, Shchita Sheina Ru'uya, Lo Shmo Shchita, since Rav Shimon says that a Shchita that is not master, the animal to be eaten, is not considered a Shchita, well then indeed, Shchita Kodshim Nami Shchita Sheina Ru'uya. Well, very well then, the Shchita of Kodshim is considered a Shchita Sheina Ru'uya, because the shchita itself is not enough to make the animal mutter, you also need the blood to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. Therefore, the shchita in and of itself is not a shchita ro'ya. Masiv Rava, however, Rava asks on that. We said we have a braisa that says like this. We're saying that Rav Shimon would say that b'chlal, whenever you're talking about kodshim, there's no osev espinoi. Even whether the kodshim is the first one, whether the kodshim is the second one, either way, Rav Shimon says it has to be that after the shchita, there's nothing else needed, no other action needed in order to be master the animal to be eaten. And when it comes to kodshim, it's not so because you also need zrika. So Masiv Rava, so Rava asks on that. We learn a braisa that says, Shani Veloisa, if you have, again, the case that we mentioned before, where you have both of them are Kodshim, the mother and the baby, and both of them were shechted outside the Azara. So we say Shani Veloisa, the one who shechts the second animal is over on a Loisa. Shahoya Rav Shimon Omer, and Rav Shimon says he's only over on a loy seseh, because Rav Shimon, and Chayav Malchus, Shahoya Rav Shimon Omer, called Roy Lovi La'achaz Man, because Rav Shimon says, whenever you have an animal which right now cannot be brought as a korban, which is true in this case, because the first one was already shechted, but it's able to be brought at some later time, then if a person shechts such an animal outside the Azara, then he is over on a loisese, but he's not over on koris. We learned in other words, if the animal is able to be brought as a korban now, then of course there's koris. If Shimon agrees, it says so in the psukim. But if the animal is right now not able to be, and if the animal is not bechlal able to be brought as a korban, then yeah, it's not shkot bechut. The machloikas of Shimon and the Chachamim is if right now it's not able to be brought as a korban, but at some later, for example, Oisav Espinoi is one example, yeah. But later on it would be. Other examples of it are, yeah, if the baby is less than 8 days old, another example of it, for example, is you have turding. The turtle doves have to be at a certain level of maturity to be brought as korbanos. So if you brought them earlier than that, whatever. In all these cases, Rav Shimon says, kolaroi lovel achazman, that if it's sort of an in-between state, right now it can't be brought as a korban, but later on it could. Then he says, Hareu Beloisa Seva in Bekaris. Then Rav Shimon says, a person who shechts it outside the Azara is over on a Loisa Seva, and he'll get Malkus for it, but there's no Karis, because Rav Shimon learns from Sukim over there and at the end of Zvachim that's so. The Chum say, no, Kosha in Bekaris ain't a Beloisa Seva. No, there's no in between thing like that. A person is either high of Karis for Shchot Echot, or he's not high of anything. If there's no Karis, the Chachamim say, if there's no kosher in by kodesh, if there's no kodesh, then there's no loisa either. So therefore, in other words, they would say, in this case, the person is not over on a loisa either. He's over on an esther. The point is, because he's definitely not high of kodesh, and even Rav Shimon agrees to that, therefore, the Chachamim say, nor is he over on a loisa. He's over on an esther, maybe, but not. Right.
If he said, if he makes it kodesh.
Yeah.
No,
one second. Here we're talking about he was machdish it and then he's shechting it outside the Azara. So it's chut echut. But because it's not able to be brought as a korban yet, Rav Shimon agrees he's not going to be chayav korban for it yet. But he's still saying he's going to be over on a lav, and the Chacham is saying no, he's not. The Kashalon, now, when we discuss that point, when we discuss that braisa, we, the Chachmei HaYeshiva, have a question on it. Kodshim b'chutz. What do you mean when you're shechting both of them as Kodshim outside the Azara? What do you mean Sheni b'loisese? What do you mean that according to Rav Shimon, that the second one is over on a loisese and is going to get malchus? We should argue, why is it b'chutz as not? According to Rav Shimon, Shchita Sheina Ru'uya is Lo Shmo Shchita, therefore Kama Mikto Kotel, the first swan effectively has just been killed because it's not a shechita that makes it mutter to eat because it's kodesh and bachot. Fine, as far as the dinim of shechting kodesh and bachot, sure, it's chayav karis for the first one because that's zeret hakasa, that even though it's shechita shein and olya, nevertheless for that purpose it's considered shechita. But as far as oisav espinoi, it shouldn't be considered kodeshim, and it shouldn't be considered shechita because shechita shein and olya. So therefore, sheni mekabel b'fnimu. Therefore, the second one is perfectly acceptable as a korban because it could be brought that day as a korban according to Reb Shimon, because the first one according to Reb Shimon hasn't been shechted.
And before we said sheni b'loitase,
we said Reb Shimon and said the second one is over on a loitase because it's shchut echot. It's just not meskabel b'fnim right now. But why is it not meskabel b'fnim? If according to Reb Shimon the first one is not considered to have been shechted because shchit to sheni roya, then the second one is miscavable with the name. It could be, conceivably, according to Reb Shimon, having shechted the first one outside the Azara and made himself high of Kodesh for doing that, now you're perfectly able to take the second one and bring it into the Azara and shecht it, because the first one, as far as Oysev Es B'noi is concerned, has not been shechted. Because
Reb Shimon says there's no Kodesh.
No. That he says there's no Kodesh on the second one. He says there's no Kodesh on the second one.
Exactly.
Yes.
The second one is the second. Kodesh. But he says there's a
That's the question. Why is he not chai of kodesh? Sheni mekabel b'fnimu. The second one could perfectly well have been brought in the azara, and instead he shechted it outside. Kodesh nami l'chai. Shouldn't he be chai of kodesh for having shechted it b'chutz? There, Omar Rava, and so Rava explains.
Forget
8 days. We're talking about the baby. We're talking about the animals older than 8 days. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about the age. We're talking about the only problem of Mechutz's man is because of Oisav Espinoi. You shechted the mother, or you shechted the baby, as the case may be, and now the other one is disqualified for a carbon that day, until the next day. But again, Reb Shimon.
Forget about the 8 days and the
okay. Oisav Espinoi and the 8 days are two separate things. We're mentioning them both. One thing. We're mentioning them both in our Gemara because they're both relevant.
Because not at the same time.
No, of course not. That the point is, in other words, again, you have a baby animal was born, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Adar. So we're saying the earliest you can bring that baby as a korban is Ches Adar. Now we're saying you're not obligated to bring a Ches Adar. You can bring a Ches, you can bring a Tes, etc. Now, at some later date, if Purim, let's say, you decide to bring it as a korban, then the mother is possible as a korban until the next day, and vice versa. So two separate things. Two separate issues. So now what we're asking is like this. According to Reb Shimon, when you shecht the first one, Kodshim Bachot, as far as the dinim of Shchot Echot, sure, it's considered a shechita, because there is a kosev, so the person is chayav kares. But as far as Oisav Es B'noi, it should not be considered a shechita, because it's shechita shein ro'ya, it's not master of the animal to be eaten, so it's kodshim, b'chol b'chot. So why would he say that the second one is only a loisetzer? The second one is miskabel b'fnim. If he wanted, again, we're talking a couple of weeks after the animal was born, the 8 days is long since passed, we're only concerned about the 1 day of Oisav Es B'noi. According to Reb Shimon, the shechita of the first one was not considered a shechita. Therefore, the meaning, in other words, the shechita of the second one, if it was done with him, would be a shechita.
Okay,
so therefore,
bring it back. But yeah. One second, I don't understand. The Oisav Es B'noi applies according to Reb Shimon the first day that it's
according to everybody, Oisav Es B'noi applies only on the day that the first one of the pair was shechted.
Right. Yeah. So since you cannot shech the newborn until 7 days.
No. So, again. The newborn over here we're talking about is already a couple of weeks or a couple of months or whatever old.
Right.
The 7 days are long since passed. We're not dealing with that. We only brought that in before in connection with Rebbe Sirifi's
din. Right.
Basically, we're talking only over here the 1 day suspension that you have of the kashrus of this animal. In other words, what you have is, again, this baby animal, for example, was born Rosh Chodesh Adar, let's say, from Aleph to Zion Adar, Tussle of the Carbon. From Ches Adar and onward, it's kosher of the carbon. However, on Purim, when you shecht its mother, then you have a 1 day suspension of the kashrus of that animal for a carbon. So on Yud Gimel Adar, it could have been brought as a carbon. Yud Dalet, it can't. Tesvav, it can be brought again. So the question is, again, according to Reb Shimon, on Yud Dalet, when you shechted the mother as Kodshim Bacholot, at that point, it was a shechita shein ro'ya.
So why can't you bring, you could have then
in that case brought the baby in and shechted it in the Azara. So why is he not chayav kares for the second one? There Amar Rava, and therefore Rava explains, v'amri lo kedi, or some say kedi, in various places Rashi explains either that kedi means, in some places explains that kedi is the name of an Amora. Other Rishonim explain that kedi means anonymous. So we had this in the previous parak as well. So either so Rava said this, or some say we don't know who said it, but it was anonymous. Anyway, chasuri mechzera. Actually, yeah, the braisa is missing words. What the braisa means is as follows. Kodshim shneim b'chos. If both animals are kodshim and they were both shechted outside the azara, l'rabbanon rishon onush kares sheni pasul v'pasur milav d'shchot echus. So according to the rabbanon, the one who shechted the first one is chayev kares because shchot echus, and the second one is now at that point mechotz man for that day, and therefore so it's pasul as a korban, and therefore he's pasur from the lav of shchot echus
because pasul
is
a korban.
One second. Lurab Shimon Shneim under Shim Karis. According to Rab Shimon, indeed, both of them are going to be Chayev Karis because the first one is Chayev because of Shchot Echot, and the second one is also Chayev because of Shchot Echot, because the second one could have been brought to the carbon because the first one wasn't considered a Shvita as far as Oyth of Espinoi.
But the first one wasn't considered a carbon because...
Well, they're both Kodshim. Neither one was brought in the Azar. So the first one was Shchot Echot. And Rav Shimon agrees, as far as the dinim of Shchot Echot, it is considered Shchita, Gzeres HaKafel. But as far as Oisev Espinoi, Rav Shimon says, only if it's a Shchita Re'oya, and here it was. Then the Braisa would continue, again, we're adding parts to it.
So he says, the dinim of Shchita Re'oya does...
Apply only to Oisev Espinoi. Yeah, it doesn't apply to Shchita Re'oya. Right. Okay. That's one case. Suppose that both of them were Kodshim, and then the first one
was
one case where we have that the Chachamim and Rav Shimon would argue. According to Rav Shimon, the second one is Potter from the lav of Shchot Echot, because it's not usable as a korban. It'd be Chayev for the lav of Oisev Espinoi, though. And according to Rav Shimon, both of them are Chayev Karis. There's no Oisev Espinoi over here, but they're both Chayev Karis. What if the first one was shechted outside the Azara of the two Kodshim, the mother and the baby, and the other one was shechted in the Azara? The Rabbanan Rishon Onus Karis Sheni Pasul Potter. So again, we'll have a machlokes. The Chachamim will say the first one's Chayev Karis, Shchot Echot. The second one is Pasul of a Korban. However, he's Potter because it's not miskabel b'fnim, so it's possible of the carbon because the mechotz is man, because it can't be brought that day. You have to wait till the next day because the mother was shechted that day. But he was over on the esther that we're mentioning at the top of the amud of mechotz is man. But he's not. But he's potter as far as there's nothing of shchot echot because he shechted it in the azar.
So that's why he's potter.
Yeah, because he'd be chayev for oisav espinoi. We're not getting into oisav espinoi over here. We're just talking about from the point of view of shchot echot. The first one is chayev karis. The second one, because the second one he did in the azar. So it's a possible korban, but it's only possible on the grounds of an answer. Lulav Shimon, Sheni Kosher, and according to Rav Shimon, actually the second one would be a Kosher carbon because the first one was effectively killed, and the second one therefore is not Machot is not. Because the first one was Shchot Echot, and we said as far as Oitz Vestinoi is not. Right. Then another case, Echa B'Fnim V'Echa B'Chot, the third possible case would be where it was the other way around. The first one of these two Kodshim you shechted in the Azara, the other one you shechted outside the Azara. L'Rabbanan Rishon Kosher or Potter. According to the Rabbanan, the first one is Kosher as a carbon, and he's Potter. He didn't do anything wrong. He did a regular Shchita of a carbon. Fine. Sheni Potter or Potter, but the second one will be Potter as the second one will be possible as a carbon because he shechted it b'chutz, but he's also possible from shchot echutz because it's not royally scabble with him because mechutz is man l'bor b'yoyim because that day it's mechutz is man because the first one was already shechted. L'Rav Shimon sheni b'loitzes there. That would be the case where Rav Shimon says the second one he is over on a loitzes there because right now sure it can't be brought as a carbon but it could be brought as a carbon tomorrow, and Rav Shimon says that's that in between case where he's over on a loitzes there. So now that we understand the braisa properly, now let's get back to the question that we have before. We said before, Rav Hamnuna started saying that Rav Shimon holds that Oisev Espinoi does not at all apply to Kodshim. So now the Tachadayda Chod, ain't Oisev Espinoi, no, it's a Kodshim. If you're telling me that Rav Shimon holds that Oisev Espinoi doesn't apply to Kodshim at all, Sheni Amai Beloitzes there. Then we're back to the question we had before. Why is the only Oivron Aloitzes there for the second? Sheni Amai Beloitzes there for two Lois? Why is the only Chayev for a Loitzes there on the second one and no more than that? Kores Nami L'Chayev.
If Oisev Espinoi does
In the case, we again, now that we fixed up the Braisa, We said that if you have the first one was shechted in the Azara and the second one outside the Azara. So now the first one was completely kosher. There was no problem with it at all. The second one, the Chachamim are saying, whichever one of the pair, the mother or the baby, it doesn't matter which one was shechted first, the Isser is the same either way. So if you shechted the first one of the pair in the Azara as a carbon, good, so you brought a perfectly kosher carbon. Now the other person takes the second one of the pair and shechts that, which is also kachim, was also designated kachim, and shechts it outside the Azara. According to the Chachamim, he's not getting any penalty for shchotei chutz at all, because it's not roi lovi bifnim, it's not valid as a carbon today.
Because of
whereas Reb Shimon is going to say that's where he's over on a loy set there. But if you're telling me Reb Shimon holds that Oysev Espinoy doesn't apply to Kodshim at all, then we should ignore the fact that the first one was shechted. The second one is roy lovi bifnim right now. Because the first one wasn't considered shechted as far as Oysev Espinoy is concerned. And therefore, so he should be high of Kodesh for the second one. Because it could be brought bifnim.
This is Echad Bifnim, exactly.
Ella, Omar Rava, no. So Rava says we have to fix up what Rav Hamnuna said. Hachi ka Omar Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna doesn't mean to say that there's no issue of Shchut, of Oysev Espinoy involving Kodshim according to the Pshim, that it's not applicable to Kodshim at all according to the Pshim. All Rav Hamnuna is saying is Ein Malkus Oysev Espinoy Noiv Kodshim. Rav Hamnuna is telling us the Malkus that a person would normally get for being over on Oysev Espinoy does not apply to Kodshim. Why is that? Given the Kama de la Zorik Dam la Mishri Basar, because since, as he said before, the Shchita is not enough to be master the meat to be eaten, you also need the Zrika to be done, and without that, the meat cannot be eaten. Therefore, Me'idna, the Kashachit, Havi Avoy Asra Asafik. So when he does the Shchita, it's only Asra Asafik, because we don't know whether the first one is going to end up having Zrika done.
Because Rashi says, even if
the first one already had the Zrika done, the point is not necessarily when he shechts the second one, how can they give him Asra? It might end up if they don't do Zrika. And if they don't do Zrika, it's not considered a Shchita, according to Reb Shimon.
On the second one,
that's what we mean. So therefore, according to Reb Shimon, there would be an issue. You just can't give him Malkus because of Asra Asafik. It would be Asra Asafik, Loishma Asra. Now, Rashi actually says the subject is whether there's going to be a Zrika. You can't give him Hasra when he shechts, because later on the Zrika might be done, because that's already something later. You can't give him Hasra on those grounds. Okay, Rashi. By the time the Zrika is done, the Shchita has already long since been done, and then it's too late to give him Hasra. Now, Rashi actually says that he doesn't like that Girsa over here. He doesn't like this Girsa over here in the Gemara, that the reason is because of Asra Asafik. Rashi just says it's not a matter of Asra Asafik. Just all the Gemara is saying is once the first one is shechted and its blood was sprinkled, then we're saying that the second one is not a shchiter ruya because it's mechutz man. So Rashi uses the expression over here at the end of the Rashi over here. Upirish mishubashu me'odim chorif mopocho. This explanation, the Gemara over here, that's because of Asra Asafik, was something that was put in by mistake by somebody by some short Talmud Chacham.
And why is that?
Because Rashi is saying that it's not a matter of Asra Asafik. It's a because the shchita of the second one in and of itself is not a shchita aroya, because once you shech the first one, you sprinkle its blood. At that point, the first one becomes a shchita aroya. Then at that point, to shech the second one would be mechutz man. You can't shech it in the first place. So therefore, Rashi takes.
If
you wait till the next day, then it's not mechutz man. Then there's no problem. We're talking about on the same day. So therefore, Rashi takes that out. Now again, Tosfos argues with Rashi, and so do many other Rishonim, and say that no, it's a valid statement in the Gemara. It's not just pirush meshubush from somebody short. No, the reason is in fact that it is indeed a matter of Asra Asafik. And in fact, from other Rashis in the sugya, including ones that are not printed in our Gemaras, there's a Rashi in the sugya that the Rosh brings. It seems that Rashi himself may have changed his mind and accepted the view that it is because of Asura Sata.
Why
not just because of
Mechotzes
Man? Because we would think it's only because of Mechotzes Man. We would think it's only Mechotzes Man.
And not
Asura Sata. Like, again, that's in the earlier part of the Gemara.
You think it could be Asura Sata?
That's the point. Rashi says it's not a matter of Asura Sata. It's only a matter of Mechotzes Man.
Okay,
because they would say that it is. After all, it is when you shech the second one, it's Asura Sata. You could say if they end up sprinkling with blood, then it is. Then it turns out it was a shechiter earlier. And if they don't, then it wasn't.
And if he says, I'm going to sprinkle.
Well, it doesn't matter. First of all, the person who shechs isn't necessarily the person who sprinkles. But again, the lav in and of itself is only for the shechita. So it's either the shechita is re'uya or it's not. If we say the shechita depends on something else, depends on the zrika, in order to be re'uya, then that doesn't work.
But as
the Rava L'Taimei, and in fact, Rava goes according to his own Svara, and here actually Rashi says that Shchitas Oisves B'nei Asura Sopiku, which again means that Rashi may have changed his mind and accepted that the Girsa over here about Asura Sopik is valid. The Amar Rava, because we find also that Rava says, He Cholun B'no Shlomim, suppose you have an animal which the mother is a Cholun animal, and the baby is a Shlom, and the baby is a Shlomim. So shochat cholin ba'achakach shochat shlomim. So if he shechts the cholin animal and then on the same day shechts the baby, which is the shlomim, potter, then he would be potter because again, after all, stop it. This is according to Reb Shimon talking. It would be after all, stop it because again, when he shechts the second one, we don't know whether it's going to end up being a shchiter or oya. Shlomim ba'achakach.
We don't know if it's going to be a shchiter or oya.
Then you can't give him hasra at the time of shech. That's the point. Right. Therefore, no malchus. So, in other words, that's what Rava is saying. It's not that Rav Hamnuna meant that Rav Shimon would say that Oisav Es B'noi does not apply to Kodshim at all. All he means is it applies. You just can't give him malchus on the grounds of hasra sopik. Okay. On the other hand, shlomim ba'achaf ha'cholim. On the other hand, if he shechted the shlomim in the azara like he's supposed to, and then he shechted the mother, the cholin animal, outside the azara like he's supposed to, well, then he's not supposed to because it's Oisav Es B'noi, then chayev. Then he would be chayev because once they sprinkled the blood of the first one, of the shlomim, of the baby, at that point we know for sure it was a shchiter oya. Now when he shechts the cholin one, even Reb Shimon is going to say there's no achra suffix and there's no nothing over here. So therefore and it doesn't involve kodshim anymore. So that's the point. Rava, according to, if we use the first version of what Rav Hamnuna was saying that oisav es b'noi never applies to kodshim, then we would say it doesn't apply here either because the first one was kodshim. But because now Rava corrected it to say it's not that it doesn't apply to kodshim, it's just as a practical matter it can't apply when it's a matter of achra suffix. So good, if the second one is cholin and it's b'chutz, then there's no issue of achra suffix. Because the first one already had its blood sprinkled.
Yeah, so it's perfect. Applies to...
No, so there's no astral suffix in this case. He shechted the first one. There's no astral there because he's not doing anything wrong.
Right.
He sprinkled the blood.
Right.
At that point, that one now became a shchiter oya, because
right.
Now the meat of that shlomim is able to be eaten.
Right.
Now, if you were to take the mother, which is a cholin, and shecht her bachus, Rava is saying, Reb Shimon would say he's chayev for oisav es b'noi. Because that second one is able to be, that second one, there's no astral suffix. As soon as you shech it, it's mutter to eat.
Let me ask you a question. Regarding Osev Es B'noi, if one is a kodshim and the other one is not, it still applies?
Yeah, that's the reason we brought several such cases in our Mishnah. Ve'er Omar Rava, and Rava further says in this connection, Ki cholenu b'na oyla, that suppose that the mother was a cholin animal again, but in this case the baby instead of a shlomim was an oyla.
Right.
So then, well, it makes a difference because an oyla is not eaten. Loy midboya shochat cholin ba'achakach shochat oyla depotter. Needless to say that according to Reb Shimon, if he shechted the cholin and then he shechted the oyla, he would be potter. Because again, once he shechted the cholin one. Once he shechted the cholin one, then outside the azara, like you're supposed to. But then at that point, the oyla, there'd be a couple of reasons to patter him. First of all, again, it would be asura sopik, whether the zrika is going to be done properly, and also because an oyla is anyway not eaten. And besides which, actually. There are other ones, but right now.
He gets the point.
So he shechts the cholin. Now at that point, now at that point, oyster estimate kicks in.
Right.
So now if he chefs the second, same day we're talking about.
Yeah.
So now if he chefs the second one, there's a number of, it would be Osir on the grounds of oyster estimate. However, again, you can't give him Osir because Osir stop it. In order for it to be Osir Vade, you would have to know whether the Zrika is going to be done. And we don't know at the time of the Shita whether it's going to be done.
Unless it's done, it's too late, of course.
Yeah, that's too late, exactly. Ella says Robert. We're talking a coincidence of shit. Ella afilu shochat oila v'achatam shochat cholin potter. But Robert continues, in this scenario, even if you shechted the oila first and then later on shechted the cholin outside, again, if the first one was a shlomin, then as we said before, Rav Shimon would agree he's chayev. That's what we just said. Because then there's no suffix on the cholin. But in this case, if the first one was an oila, even though he sprinkled the blood, then still potter, shchita kamaisa lav shchita batachilahi. Because again, the shchita of the oila is not something that makes it edible. And Rav Shimon is saying that shchita shener oya lo shma shchita, but an oila is shchita shener oya, says Rava, because you can't eat an oila.
One second, you cannot eat an oila, but for an oila to be an oila, you still need drika.
That's true, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, according to Rav Shimon, even forget about the matter of Asura Safa. Just the fact that it's an Ola takes it out of consideration. So even though you did the Shchita, you did the Zrita, Rav Shimon is still going to say that's Shchita Sheinu Ra'uya because you can't eat the Ola. So therefore, later on, if you shech the mother, which is a Cholin,
it's not the Shchita Sheinu Ra'uya. To be an Ola, you need to shech.
No. Shchita we've been talking throughout the whole story that according to Rav Shimon, Shchita Sheinu Ra'uya means that you shecht an animal, but now you're not able to eat it as a result of that shchita. So now, we had the opinion of Rav Oshia before, who said that even if later on the zrika is done, it's still not considered shchita ra'uya according to Rav Shimon, because his understanding is that Rav Shimon would say shchita ra'uya would be that the shchita and only the shchita all by itself is able to be master of the animal. Which is not the case of video, because you need Zrika as well. Rav Hamnuna and Rav are disagreeing with that. Fine. They're saying as long as you have something, namely the Zrika, that later on happens, that is master the animal to be eaten, then fine. Retroactively, it turns out to be a Shchita Ra'uya, and therefore, if you were to shech the other one as Cholin outside, then you chayev. However, Rav is saying if the first one was an Ola, even in that case not, because an Ola is not eaten. Therefore, on that ground alone, it's Shchita Shein Ra'uya, because the Shchita plus the Zrika is not making it able to be eaten.
Yeah, but it's hard to say it's not ra'uya.
But it's not ra'uya to eat. It's not ra'uya to eat. That's the point. But of Yaakov, and therefore it's not considered a shchita according to Rav Shimon. Therefore, if you shech the other one on that same day, then according to Rav Shimon, no malchus. Yeah. And no, yes.
So shchita and ra'uya, only a shchita that you're able
to eat. Exactly. On the other hand, Rav Yaakov Amar Rav Yechanan. On the other hand, Rav Yaakov says in the name of Rav Yechanan, no, achilas mizbeach shmo achila. The fact that the mizbeach is able to eat, to consume this korban ola, is considered eating for this purpose. Even Rav Shimon would agree.
Yeah,
even Rav Shimon would agree to that. Says Rav Yechanan. My time, the Amar Kra, because the pasuk says, v'ochol ya'ochol mibsal zevach shlomim. The pasuk says, if eating, there will be eaten from the meat of the korban shlomim. And there's a context that's talking about over there about pigle. Well, there's a context that's talking about pigle that if a person has in mind during the offering of a korban, today's shlosh prach from the Rambam actually, that if the person has in mind during one of the four avodas of the korban that he's going to eat or burn part of the korban outside chutzus manai, beyond the time that you're allowed to do that, then the korban is pigle, and a person who eats it is chayav karis. But how do we know that it applies both to eating and to burning on the mizbeach because of this word ha'ochol ya'ochol? The shteyach chilas hakosim medaber. The pasuk is talking about two kinds of eating. We learned in Zvachim many times. Echad achilas adam ve'echad achilas mizbeach. It applies equally well whether he has in mind that he is going to eat from the meat of the korban past the time that you're supposed to, or whether he has in mind that the mizbeach is going to eat, that is going to consume the chaylev, the emurim, whatever, of the korban beyond the time that you're supposed to. So therefore, we see the same way as they're both considered achila. As far as that, the same way Rav Shimon would say they're both considered achila as far as oisav etzinoi. Therefore, the shchita and zrita of an oila would be considered shchita ra'uya. Therefore, Rav Shimon would agree that he's chayef malchus in that case.
That's only according to
Rav Yechanan.
Yeah.
Whereas Rava would disagree.
Okay.
Yeah. And practically speaking, Rava is the next generation after the Yechanan. Or the next generation,
so
two generations later. We mentioned Rava's opinion first, because we were mentioning Rav Hamnuna, and we had Rava explaining what Rav Hamnuna was saying. Okay. practically speaking, I mean, as far as practical halacha, the halacha is like the chachamim against Reb Shimon. We don't care about whether it's shchita or oya or not, as we'll see in the next Mishnah. Therefore, how to understand Reb Shimon is not negei halacha.
So,
according to halacha, it doesn't matter whether we're talking an oila, whether we're talking a shlomim, whatever kind of korban we're talking about, and even if the zrika was never done, just the fact that it was shechted is already enough to trigger oitz of estimate. Okay.
Korban speaks about kabbalah.
A little bit. I mean, mostly it talks about cholin, naturally, but cholin means non-carbonus, but some of the dinim in our mesechta, for example, oisav espanoi, apply to kodshim as well, and therefore deals with them later on. Zvachim and menachos, primarily. Okay. All right. Mishnah says, hashoset benim tzatreifa. Suppose you shecht an animal, and it turns out to be treif, so you can't eat it. Or hashoichet l'avodah zarah, or somebody shechts an animal for avodah zarah, which also you can't eat because it's also b'anah.
Don't call shechita, really.
Well, that's what we have to figure out. Hashoichet paras chatas v'shor aniskol v'egla arufa, or a person shechts the para adruma, which is not meant to be eaten, or a person shechts the shor aniskol, a shor that has to be stoned because it killed somebody. The para means the para adruma. The para adruma is not meant to be eaten; it has to be burnt. Or the shor aniskol, a shor that has to be stoned because it killed somebody, the egla arufa, or the egla arufa, which is supposed to be decapitated over there in the valley. All of those are also b'hana, even if you shech them. Reb Shim, or also to eat, at least, whatever. Parashatos means the paradoma. Well, the paradoma is normally supposed to be shechted, but then afterwards you're supposed to burn it and use the ashes. But,
so what did the person do?
So he shechted it. That's the thing. So you have, for example, the paradoma, let's say you have the paradoma's mother somewhere nearby. The paradoma itself can't have been mated. So we're talking about his mother then. So you have, let's say, he shechted the paradoma in the normal way, which then it's going to be burnt. Now, after that, somebody else wants to shech the mother of that paradoma on the same day. So is he over on Oseh Vesedai?
So,
yeah, that's what we're still dealing with. That's the topic. Reb Shimon Potter v'chachamim mechayvim. So Reb Shimon says he's Potter because shchita shein roya. Because in the case of the paradroma, it's not meant to be eaten. It's meant to be burnt. And in the case of avodah zarah and paras chatas and egla arufa, they're all also b'hana. So therefore, we mean that he's shechting it in honor of Avodah Zarah, the korban to Avodah Zarah. Hold on, we're going to deal with that in the Gemara. Wait. Okay, and the Chachamim says chayev because they don't care whether it's shchita shein roya or not, as long as it's a shchita.
There's no such thing as Chachamim shchita shein.
That's the point, right? On the other hand, hashoichet b'nisnab. That's the next thing. On the other hand, if he's doing a shchita and it ended up becoming nevela because he made a mistake doing the shchita, or b'hanoicher, or if he does noicher, which Rashi later on in the next paragraph he defines as like cutting through the nostrils of the animal to kill it that way, b'ma'akir, or he rips out the simonim. In all those cases, potter mishum oisav espanoi. In that case, when he shechs, whether it's the first or the second one that this is done with, he's potter for oisav espanoi because you need both of them have to have done a shchita. Because lois 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 shishchatu, right? Which means it has to be a shchita. Lois shishchatu would be a mess. Yeah. By the way, so actually, now that you mention that, so you have a couple of the Achronim, the Shoshana Mildavid, Rabbi Akiva Eger, say that's why the Mishnah finishes Potter Mishum Oitzav Espanoi. Why should it have to say that? We're in the Perek of Oitzav Espanoi. Of course, that's what we mean he's Potter on. It means he's Potter on that ground, but he's still being over on Sa'ab al Chayim and Baal Tashchit and whatever else. But yeah.
Check it through the nose? That's what
it means? No, it means like he cuts through the nostrils and like cuts from there to the vital organs of the animal, whatever. Yeah. You have other Rishonim who learn that noicher means more like stabbing, whatever. The point is it wasn't a shchita. Okay. So, Amar of Shimon Lakish, the Gemara starts off, Rish Lakish says, Loishonu Elish, this that we're talking about the case in the Mishnah, where he shechted for Avodah Zarah, Loishonu Elish Shachat Rishon Avodah Zarah V'Sheni L'Shochonai. The case of the Mishnah would have to be where the first one he shechted was in honor of Avodah Zarah, and then he's shechting the second one in order to eat. That is where the Mishnah would be saying that the Chachamim would say he'd still be chayev, because when he shechts the first one for Avodah Zarah, then what we do is we judge him for these two things out of order. First, we judge him on the grounds of Oseh Vesedai because he shechted the second one, and we give him malchus for that. and then we judge him for the first one, and we give and we execute him for not because he worships the Rizara. Aval Rishon Meshulchanit. One second. Relax.
No, if you're going to get
okay.
Shemitah anyway,
hold on.
You have to use the Malkus,
yeah, that's the point because he had no, because he had, did two different averes. One second. Hold on. Okay. Aval Rishon Meshulchanit V'Sheni Lavet Izara. But if it was the other way around, if he had shechted the first one normally and the second one he shechted Lavet Izara, which therefore, in other words, he's being over on Oseves Bnei and Lavet Izara at the same time. So then potter. Then he would be potter from Malkus because the Kamlebe Dinavamine, because like you said, double jeopardy sort of. He can't be you don't give somebody Malkus as well as Missa. So like this, therefore he's getting Missa for worshipping Avodah Zarah. He can't also be getting Malkus for one or the other. Well he'd get
Missa.
He'd get Missa for Avodah Zarah.
For which one?
For Avodah Zarah. For Avodah Zarah, yeah. That's the
general principle that you have two independent punishments. Is it particular to Malkus and Missa?
That's what we're gonna talk about in a second. Wait. Hold on. Hold that thought and let's learn and we'll see. Okay. As a general rule, many times when you're learning Gemara, what you're going to ask is maybe answered in the next couple of lines. So how tough and late? Fine. All the later of Yechanan. So Rabbi Yechanan says to Rish Lakish, I didn't need you to tell me that. Even little kids know that concept that I've come later to Rabbi. Ella, what Rabbi Yechanan says is you have to understand the Mishnah a little differently. Ella, pa'amim shaf. You could even have a scenario where when he shechted the first one for his table, meaning a regular shechita to eat, and the second one he's shechting for Avodah Zarah, you could say even then there could be a case where he's chayev malchus for Oseh Ves Bnei. I, what about Kamlebe D'Rabbanei? The case could be, because when the Asru Bei Mishum Oseh Ves Bnei, V'loi Asru Bei Mishum Avodah Zarah. Suppose that the Edim gave him Asra only on the grounds of Oseh Ves Bnei. Suppose they did not give him Asra for the fact that he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. Then he's not getting Missa for Avodah Zarah because there's no Asra. Therefore, Rabbi Yechanan says that the Mishnah is telling us that in that case he could be getting Malchus. There, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar, the Shlakish disagrees with that because he says, no, given the key Asru Bei Potter, given that, you agree, Rabbi Yechanan, that if they had given him Asra for worshipping Avodah Zarah, that he'd be getting Nisr rather than Malkus, he'd be Potter from Malkus, therefore, Kilo Asra Bei Nami Potter. Therefore, says Rish Lakish, no, I disagree with Rabbi Yechanan. Even if they didn't give him Asra from Nisr, he would still be Potter from Malkus. Asra from Nisr, for Avodah Zarah.
For
Avodah Zarah. He'd still be Potter from Malkus, says Rish Lakish. So that's the machlokes between them, because that's the machlokes that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Kamlei B'Dirabiminei only applies if he's actually getting executed, and Rish Lakish is saying even if there was only a potential of him getting executed. Kamlei B'Dirabiminei means he gets the bigger one. He stands with the bigger one, meaning he gets the harsher punishment also.
So
Rish Lakish is saying that Kamlei B'Dirabiminei applies even if he's not actually getting the harsher punishment, just that there was a possibility that he could have if Hasra had been given, therefore he's not getting Malchus. And the Gemara points out, Ba'azu L'tai Mayu, now they're going according to their own, it's worth mentioning, by the way, an interesting point that a couple of the Achronim talk about, for example, Rabbi Akiva Eger. We learned earlier in the Masechta that a mumur l'avodah zarah, that if a person worships avodah zarah, his shchita is possible anyway. So how are we calling this a shchita insofar as the dinim of Oseh Ves Bnei? So you have a few answers. One of them is you have Rishonim who learned earlier in the Masechta, for example, I think the Rashba and the Ran say that a person only becomes a mumur l'avodah zarah only the second time he does it. The first time that he shechts for avodah zarah doesn't necessarily make him a mumur, yeah? I think the question comes from Rebecca Vega, but you have that one answer is based on that. Another idea is maybe that just because another answer is fine. His shchita is possible, but nevertheless, as far as Oseh Ves Bnei, the fact is he is a yid after all, and therefore for purposes of Oseh Ves Bnei, you might consider it a valid shchita. Rebecca Vega himself gives an answer. Maybe it's similar. Uses an answer that the Gemara uses in some other places that he says I'm only intending to do the worship of a Zarah only when I'm finishing the shchita. So therefore, when he starts, when he does the part that's necessary for minimum shchita, then he hasn't yet worshipped Avodah Zarah, but at that point, it's already a shchita. Okay.
So
anyway.
That one is bigger than the other, one is dependent upon the other, and therefore...
This point that I was mentioning is fine.
All right.
So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, in this machlokas of theirs, are going according to their respective shchita. Va'azdu means they go. because when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said as follows, a case of where you have Chayovim Nisus Shogigin, Chayovim Malchus Shogigin, Bajava Acher, where you have somebody who's high, who would have been Chayav Nisa, but what he did was b'shogig, meaning there was no asura. For our purposes, shogig doesn't mean necessarily that he was really a shogig, that he knew it was wrong, for example. Anything that had asura for our purposes is called shogig.
Anything that didn't have...
Anything where they didn't have asura, that's considered shogig, effectively. Because the whole point of asura is to demonstrate that he was amazing. Okay, so if somebody would have been... If somebody did something that would have made him chayav mitzah, but there was no asura, or he did something that would have made him chayav malchus, but there was no asura, the davar acher, but there was also another penalty involved, for example, a monetary penalty. So, Rabbi Yechanan on the chayav, but Resh Lakish on the potter. Rabbi Yechanan says he's going to be chayav for the money, since, after all, he's not getting executed, or he's not getting malchus. Therefore, we don't say, come live the dinah, and therefore he's going to have to pay the money. So Rashi gives an example as follows. Let's say, for example, one person owned Meister Sheni, and another person ate it outside Eretz Yisrael. So he's high of the other person money because he ate his Meister Sheni. He's also high of Malchus for eating Meister Sheni Chutz Yerushalayim. But let's say he did it without Asura. Rabbi Yechanan is saying, therefore he's going to have to pay. I come live with the Rabbim, and it only applies when he's actually getting Malchus. He was not actually getting Malchus because no Asura. It applies to Malchus as well. It applies to Malchus as well, but it only applies, Rabbi Yechanan says, if he's actually getting Malchus. But a Shlokish, I'm a potter.
What do you mean after the fact?
In other words, when he ate this Maaser Sheni, did they give him Asura? You're eating Maaser Sheni Chutz Yerushalayim. You're going to get Malchus for it. If they gave him Asura, then later on when they bring him the base bin, he's only getting Malchus. If they didn't give him Asura, says Rabbi Yechanan, then he's paying. Rav Shlokish Amar Potter. Rav Shlokish says either way he's Potter from pain. Rav Yechanan Amar Chaya Deholay Asur Boy. Rav Yechanan says he's Chaya because after all they didn't give him Asura. So there's no Kamalei B'Drabim. He's not getting the harsher punishment. He's Chaya to pay because there's no Asura to pay because there's no Asura for the Malchus or the Mitzvah. But Rav Shlokish Amar Potter, given the key Asura Bei Potter, because given that if they had given him Asura for eating the Maaser Sheni, for example, then he would have gotten Malchus. And then he would have been potter from paying the money. Kilo Astra Bay Nami Potter, so even if they didn't actually give him the Astra. Nevertheless, he's also potter from paying, says Rish Lakish.
Because
since potentially he could have been Chayef Malchus or Mitzah. Rish Lakish holds, come live with Adam, and it applies to that also. Now, the Gemara points out with Tricha, why do we need to be told this Machlokas of Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish twice, once in connection with our Mishnah and once in the general connection? So like this, the Iyashmin and Baha, because if we were only told about it in the case of our Mishnah where he's shechting for Avodah Zarah, but there's also Oysev Es Benoy involved.
One for Avodah Zarah, and one for Shechita and Avodah Zarah,
and the other one, let's say, for Maaser Sheni and Mahi. So the Iyashmin and Baha, if we were only told in our case, in connection with our Mishnah, you would say Baha Kamar of Shimon Lakish. Fine, in our Mishnah, Rish Lakish says he's Kotzer from Malchus because conceivably he could have gotten Mitzah. So therefore, in other words, we're not going to give him, Malchus and Nissa have this in common. They're both penalties on his actual body, him getting executed or him getting whipped. So therefore, the Shlokish might say that, yeah, you know, once he could have potentially been chayev in one, then already that automatically captures him from the other one. Yeah. Avo Baha, but when it comes to the case of, let's say, Maaser Sheni and money payment, which one of them is only on his body, the other one is a financial thing. Aim a modulator of Rabbi Yechanan, and maybe he agrees with Rabbi Yechanan that the fact that he's not actually getting Malchus would make him chayev in the money. The E Itma Baha, on the other hand, if we only had that second Machlokas, you would say the other way around, Baha Kalm Rabbi Yechanan, only when it comes to Mitzah and money, or Malchus and money, then Rabbi Yechanan is Machmir and makes him pay. Avo Baha, but in the case of our Mishnah, aim a modulator of Shimon Lakish, maybe he would agree with Rish Lakish that you can't subject him potentially to two penalties on his body, Malchus and Mitzah, Tzricha, and therefore we need both Machlokas.
So if you had both bodies, you would say it doesn't apply to...
You would think that Rish Lakish agrees that it doesn't apply to money, that he's higher than money.
Monetary and body,
you would think Rabbi Yechanan is make one. And that's how Rashi learns the Tzricha over here. Tosfos explains the Tzricha a little bit differently. The second one we're saying is even within the second case itself. It's not just we're talking about that we need both Machlokas. And within the second Machlokas itself, we need to be told that Rabbi Yechanan Yochanan, if we only had that Rosh Lakish pakas him by Misa and Dover Acher, then you would say that only applies to Misa and money. Maybe Rosh Lakish would say it doesn't apply to Malchus and money.
Oh,
the Misa versus Malchus. Whereas Rabbi Yechon, and so therefore we need to be told that even, in other words, we're in the second, Rosh Lakish is saying it applies either to Misa and Mammon, that's the first one, the case of our Mishnah is that applies to Misa and Malchus. The second one in Ksubas is talking about that it applies to Misa and money, and as well as Malchus and money. If we were told that it only applies that Rosh Lakish says he's potter from Mammon when there's a chiyuv Misa, we wouldn't know that he also potters him also when there's only Malchus involved, only when it's only Malchus and money. Therefore, we need Rosh Lakish to be telling us that he holds that even in that case, and vice versa as far as Rabbi Yechon.
So we need both because Misa and Malchus
we learn from this from our story, from the first one, and Misa and Malchus and money we learn from the second one, and in all those three cases,
two from the second one and one from the first one.
And in all those three cases, in all those three scenarios, Rabbi Yochanan is going to hold that if he's not actually getting the more severe punishment, then he gets the lesser one, and Rosh Lakish disagrees and says that he does.
That he does what?
That he does get the lesser punishment. So in the case of our Mishnah, if there's no Mitzah, then he is getting Malchus. And in the cases in Ksuvos, if there's no Mitzah, he's paying money. And if there's no Malchus, he's paying money.
And Rabbi Yochanan,
Rabbi Shlokar is saying he's Potter in all those cases. Potter. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says he's Chayev in all
getting the lesser one?
That Rabbi Yochanan would say, if he actually is getting executed for worshipping Avodah Zarah, then no Malchus, for his testimony. But if he's not, then he does.
If he's not getting
Misa because there was no Asura, then he is getting Malchus for his
investment.
And Rosh Lakish says that no, even if he's not actually getting Misa, the fact that he potentially could have gotten Misa had there been Asura is enough to pass him from Malchus as well, because from Leibid Rabbi. Okay.
But I have a general question.
So yeah.
Suppose you have a case where you have a guy who is accused of being violent, let's just say.
Okay.
And throughout the case, you find out that he also committed murder. And so by the end judgment, it started out as a financial case, and it turned into a capital crime case.
Okay, so that's actually, well, it depends. Are we talking about, first of all, is it Misa Lozer or Tashlumin Lozer? Is it that the Chiyuv that got him, is it that what you're saying that gets him the capital case is involving a different person than the one to whom he owes the money?
Suppose for argument's sake, yes.
Then yes. Then he's chayev in both, because then I'm pretty sure he's chayev in both.
Okay.
If you have, let's say for example, a person is on trial for Misa Lozer, for Shlumin Lozer, where he owes one person money for a hezek, let's say, and he also even from the same action ends up owing and ends up being chayev Misa for something that he did for something else that he did Misa Lozer for Shlumin Lozer. I'm pretty sure the Gemara says then yes, he is chayev in both. And there might be a mechlokes about that.
Two different people,
yeah. I think the Gemara says that he is chayev in both of them then. I don't remember. There may be a machlokas about that, but I'd have to look.
But in terms of the initial cases, we spoke about one person, right?
The classic case of Kom Leva D'Rabbimine is, for example, well, an example of it would be our Mishnah, let's say, if he's chayev mitzvah for the same action that results in two different things. On the one hand, he's over on an issur mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, at the same time, he's also over on an issur lav. I mean, another example of Kom Levit D'Rabbimine would be, let's say, for example, a person kills somebody else and at the same time tears his shirt. He stabs him, let's say, and tears his shirt and also kills him. So Kom Levit D'Rabbimine, you wouldn't make him pay for the shirt.
This might be a little bit of a stretch of the principle of Kom Levit D'Rabbimine, but suppose you have that the financial and capital case combined. So Kom Levit D'Rabbimine is the bigger...
Means he gets a harsher punishment.
Okay,
right.
Fine. So suppose you have a guy who's a millionaire, right?
Yeah.
His close family, he doesn't have a relationship with, and the Yerusha, they depend on. In the event of his Mita, they depend on his Yerusha in order to continue to sustain their life.
That has nothing to do.
No, that's what I'm saying. So, okay, fine. Again, it's a bit of a stretch. But Sanhedrin says a person has to live his life as though the entire world was created for him. What does it mean? Obviously, it's more deeper, but on a basic level, the human life is very valuable. Whatever. Okay, fine. So I'm just saying, at a certain point, if it's a billion, let's say he's the financier of the town.
Okay.
Or he's the king. And if the king dies, right, if the king is crying, because if all the people die, we lose everything.
No, stop. Halacha applies equally to the king and to everybody else. So if a person is chayav mitzvah, it doesn't matter whether he's the king, doesn't matter whether he's the lowliest. Whether he's the lowliest homeless bum, either way.
In terms of the application of the kind of...
Come lay... No, no, no. nothing more, nothing less than this. If a person is chayav a, harsher punishment and also a lesser punishment, for example, Misa versus Malchus. Misa is considered harsher. The fact that he's dying, the fact that his life is being put to an end, is harsher than Malchus, where he's only getting whipped.
Malchus versus financial,
Malchus is harsher. Malchus is almost, in fact, we have an expression in the Gemara elsewhere that it's almost like halfway to death. So yes, the hierarchy is Misa, Malchus, and money.
Okay, fine.
So that's the hierarchy, and that's how we determine Kom Leibed Adam.
Okay.
Okay. Strictly that, nothing to do with how well connected, how rich, how powerful or whatever he is, nothing like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay, I didn't mean to
okay.
Okay,
okay.
Well then I was gonna follow it up with in connection to Shechita because we discussed this
yeah.
The punishment of Malchus and there's also the punishment of Misa, and then sort of but not really but hit into that case was the financial punishment because if he's Mafish or Shochet an animal and he didn't do it in a proper way, it's Baal Tashkus on the animal. The animal could have been valuable. So there's financial loss. You're not
taking. Yeah, but no. A person, when we talk about financial loss, we're talking about making him pay somebody else. If it's Baal Tashkis, where he took his own animal and shechted it in a way that makes it also to eat, he's over on Israel Baal Tashkis, but there's nobody for him to pay.
But
Tom Leibed,
yeah,
okay.
No, I don't categorize it the same as the Gemara, and I have to be more patient.
All right, good.
Tomorrow?
The usual, best of Hashem, 20 minutes after the last sentence.
So when is it?
Good night, Joseph.